This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Time, a year more than any other, when we feel aware of the enormity of the tasks and challenges before us, and of our own apparent inadequacy in being able to handle those tasks. Part of the style of these shiurim has been throughout not to in any way water down what the Torah expects of us. In this shiur, I haven't made any type of accommodation for human weakness. In halacha shiurim, one can make accommodation for human weakness. When it comes to halacha l'maaseh, when one has to know what to do, what not to do, there one has shailas, one has questions, the way the halacha should ideally be applied, sometimes cannot be applied in that way, and in halacha accommodation needs to be made, but not in hashkofa. When it comes to approach, when it comes to an understanding of what it is the Torah wants from us, there cannot be any compromise. We must have clarity on the highest levels of the Torah's demands. Whether we can reach those levels or whether we want to reach those levels, that's our own choice. But there dare not be compromise in our understanding and our identification of what constitutes the Torah's demands upon us. And it's interesting, in fact, that most people take the opposite view. And that's why perhaps many people find the shiur difficult. Most people take the opposite view. That halacha has to be absolutely uncompromising. That's how it is. No, that's it. Finished. Hashkofa, how can you say such things? We're ordinary people. How do you expect people to reach such levels? And what are you talking about? And you make people depressed when you talk of such levels. Exactly, Paket, which shows how funny modern, contemporary, frum thinking has become. Halacha is designed with certain inbuilt flexibility, and it's that flexibility which constitutes the art of hayro'o, of knowing how to apply the perfections of halacha into imperfect situations. It is in halacha that there must be flexibility. It's in halacha that there must be accommodation. It's in halacha that there has to be not compromise, and not dilution, chas v'sholem, but certainly accommodation. But when it comes to hashkofa, there has to be purity and there has to be clarity. That's what the Torah demands of us. It's far higher than any levels that I can aspire to. It might be far higher than any levels that you can aspire to. But we dare not allow our sights to be lowered to the levels to which we feel capable of aspiring to. Because then we bring the Torah down to our level. And then we have no chance of really appreciating what it's all about. And when we do that, of course, there is a certain feeling of inadequacy, or I suppose it arouses opposite feelings in different people. Some people feel depressed and oppressed and think, my goodness, if that's what I'm supposed to be, if that's where I'm supposed to get, is it even worth trying? Where am I and what's the whole point? And some people get very miserable and negative, and others think, gosh, isn't this a wonderful Torah that we've got? Isn't it amazing what the Ribbono Shel expects of us? Are we that great that the Ribbono Shel Olam can expect such things from us? How nice it would be if we could give him what he expects from us. And let us try each one in our own way to give him as close as possible to what he expects from us. And that, of course, is the correct response to a shiur such as this. That it needs chizuk. And there are two midrashim that deal with two different areas of chizuk. Chizuk, which means encouragement, applies in two different areas. When a human being, there are two areas in which he needs it. Number one, he needs to be given the skills of achievement. How do I do it? Number two, he needs to be given the motivation to do it. The one without the other is insufficient. To know the skills, very good, but one has to be motivated to do it. To be motivated but not to know how to do it, also not very easy. One has to have the skills and one has to be motivated. And strange enough, there are two midrashim in the Sedra that one gives us a very clear, simple blueprint for the skills of achieving of great things, and one gives us the blueprint for the motivation. The Medrash quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Ro'amos le'evil chochmos, v'sha'al lo yiftach tivu. The evil, the foolish man, sees wisdom as a rare precious stone, and at the entrance to the Beis HaMedrash, at the gates, he does not open his mouth. The Medrash discusses that pasuk, and then gives the following explanation. Dover Acher Rabbonin Amri, the Rabbonin said, HaTipesh hazeh nichnas lebeis haKnesses, v'roye oisom oiskim batayu. Foolish man comes into the shul, and he sees people sitting and learning. V'hu oimei lohen, and he says to them, Heich odom lomei tayu. How does a person start off learning? This is all very nice. You're all learning. You seem to be enjoying yourself. How does one get into this business? They say to him, first you read a Chumash, the Sefer, then you read in a big Sefer Torah, and afterwards you learn in the Nevi'im, in the Prophets, and afterwards you learn the later part of Tanakh. Mishu Goymer is Hamikro, Shoyne is HaTalmud. Once you finish learning Chumash and Tanakh, then you start learning Gemara. You go through and you learn Gemara, Vacharkach Bahalochis. And after you've learned Gemara, you learn Halocha. Interesting, look where it is, not done that way today. The first thing they teach a person when he wants to become Shub is the Din. Not the way the Medrash says. You start with Chumash. Meanwhile, he doesn't know what to do, and he might be doing Averis. Slowly, you can't do it all in one go. First, he's got to understand a little bit of the culture of Yiddishkeit. And you don't get the culture of Yiddishkeit from the do's and don'ts. You don't get the culture of Yiddishkeit from Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You need a Chumash Shir, where you get Hashkofe. You need a Friday night Shir. You need a Mitzvah Shabbos Shir. Then you need Tanakh, Shabbos morning Shir. If you don't go, you send your wives to a Shabbos morning Shir. If you haven't got a wife, you do what Ron's busy doing. You get yourself a wife. And you send her to the Shabbos morning Shir. And she comes back and teaches you Tanakh. You've done a bit of Nevi'im, you've done a bit of Ksuvim. Then you start Gemara. Then you come onto Halacha. Then you start learning Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus. And then it fits into its correct position. Can't cut it all at one go. Da'chalkach ba'agodas. Then you start learning the Agadatas, touching on Kabbalistic things. Then you start getting into the homiletics and into the mysticism. That's the route that one takes. That's how one does it. This again, we're talking here to an adult. This is a blueprint for a Baal Tshuva. People always say it's a unique situation today where adults become involved in Yiddishkeit and in Torah. And how does one do it? And how does one set about it? And it's not dealt with anywhere. Here we are. This is talking about a person who comes in to a Beis HaMedrash. This is an adult and says, "I want to start learning. I know nothing." He's a tipesh. I want to start learning. What is the syllabus? Yeah, the Medrash has laid it out clearly what the syllabus is. Chumash and Tanakh, Gemara, Halacha, Haggadah. That's the syllabus. Kivan Sheshumea Kach. When he hears all this, Omer believer, he says to himself, Yemusayni Lomed calls this. When am I going to learn all this? So much. Before I get to know what's what. The Chizer Min Hashar, and he turns away from the gate and he goes outside again. Enough. I understand there's some people who've come to the Dinim Shir on Monday night and they've been so overwhelmed by how much there is to know that they don't know about Hilchos Shabbos that they've decided not to come again. Tipish, the foolish person who's overwhelmed by knowledge, so he decides better to remain an idiot. That's the best thing. It's less uncomfortable. Amar Rabbi Yannai, said Rabbi Yannai, L'moshol l'ma'ad avadoni. What can this be compared to? He gives a moshol. L'kikor shehoyotolu v'avir. A very hungry man. A poor man, a beggar, he's got nothing to eat at all. He comes into a room, and he smells freshly baked bread. He looks around, no sign of it, but he smells it, he's sure of it. And he opens all the containers, nothing. Looks around, he sees hanging from the ceiling, way out of his reach. There's the most beautiful loaf of freshly baked bread, and his mouth starts watering, and his tongue starts hanging out. Tzipe Shlomo, this foolish man, says, this is miyu chalavi. It's for fun, it's a pity, no point here in eating myself up, I better go out, who can, it's beyond me, can't reach it. What does a clever man do when he comes in? He says to himself, Loi echo tolo yisoy.
How did it get there? He asks Akasha. He doesn't start with the answer. The foolish man starts with the answer. The answer is, with statements, you must know that you're not on the path of learning at all. When you start with questions, then you're on the path of learning. So the foolish man comes and he makes a statement. It's beyond me. Once he's made a statement, there's nothing to discuss. Clever man starts with a kasha and he says, how did it get there? Because somebody must have put it there. And if somebody put it there, somebody can sure take it down. And he starts figuring out how it got there and how it can be taken down. Maybe sulam, or ikono, he brings a ladder, or he brings a long stick, or maybe they say he brings it down. Kach kol mishu tipesh, anybody who's foolish, Omer says, Amosai ekra kol hatsiro. The whole of Shas, there's so much to learn. When am I going to do it all? Umishu pikeach ma'oise, and what does a clever man do? Shoyne perek echod, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. He learns a little bit every day. Each day he learns one perek. Ad shemesayim kol ha-toiro kulo, until he completes the whole Torah. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah is not beyond you. It is not mysterious and wonderful in the sense that it is unobtainable. And if it is beyond you, Mimcha, it's your fault that it's beyond you. You've distanced yourself from it. You're not using it. You're not learning it. That's the pshat in this parasha of Hamitzvah Hazos. This medrash is profound in its simplicity. The medrash is saying, who's right? The poor man, the foolish man, or the clever man? The foolish man comes in, he's hungry, he wants the bread no less than the clever man, and he looks up and it is beyond his reach. So he says, I can't get it. It's not possible. Is he right? Yes, he is right. It is beyond his reach. That's a correct statement. There's nothing wrong with that statement. The only thing is he's going to die of starvation. The clever man comes along and says, this is beyond my reach. Sure, but it was beyond the reach of the person who put it there too. What does that mean? That means there must be a way of extending myself. The way I am now is beyond my reach. But it is obtainable. And if those two facts are correct, if it is beyond my reach, yet it is obtainable, then there's only one path left to me, and that is I've got to become bigger. I've got to grow to be able to reach it. And he finds the solution in creative thinking. So he starts looking around for a tool. He starts looking for a stick, for a step ladder. He puts a table there, he stands on the table, still not enough. He puts a chair on top of the table, he stands on the chair on top of the table. And so he enables himself through his creative thinking to increase his stature beyond his own limitations. And that is the essential aspect of the human ability. Human beings are capable of doing things far beyond them, because they are capable of being creative and extending themselves beyond their own capacities. That's what the human being is capable of doing. Who would have thought 50 years ago, never mind 100 or 500 years ago, who would have thought that man could walk on the moon? It would have been the most ridiculous and absurd suggestion. Man walk on the moon? How's he going to get there? That distance? What's he going to do? Fly there? How's he going to get there? It would have been a totally absurd suggestion. And yet today it's a reality. Has man become bigger? No, but by using his creative genius, he has been able to extend himself beyond his own frontiers. And that's what the human being is capable of doing. We talked about it from a completely different aspect in the Vilna Gaon Shiur this afternoon. A human being, you don't always cut your clothes to suit the cloth. If you cut your clothes to suit the cloth, you'll never put on any weight, because you'll always be afraid that you won't be able to fit into your clothes. But if you cut your clothes bigger than your cloth, sometimes you've got a bit of room to expand. It's much more comfortable. Much more comfortable. And although getting bigger physically isn't always a healthy thing to do,
that getting bigger mentally and spiritually is always a healthy thing to do. And that concept applies there just the same. So the poor man, the foolish man comes in, and that's why he's called a tipish, that's why he's called foolish. He comes in and he looks at the world from the viewpoint of his own limitations. That's his outlook. He's a small-minded individual. He's a narrow-minded individual. He can't see beyond his own limitations, beyond his own abilities. In a recent shiur, I mentioned the example of the Malthusian theory at the end of the last century, the end of the previous century, wasn't it? That the island of Britain was too small to sustain the population at the rate at which it was growing, and that there would be enormous famine and there would be death and all sorts of things within 20 years or 30 years, he worked out. And he was right. He was a tipesh. He was right.
Take the growth of population, work out how many acres of land each human being needs, divide the island, the acreage of the island by the number of human beings that are projected to populate it in 10 years' time, and you will find that there won't be enough food. QED, see? What did he fail to recognize? Man's ingenuity. Man has always found a way when the pressure's on and he has to use his creative genius. He has found a way to extend himself far beyond the frontiers of his own limitations. That's the gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given man. He never gave that to animals. An animal can't extend himself beyond his own limitations. He can only do that which he can do, that's it. A human being can do that which previously was unheard of. A human being can do something today which yesterday he couldn't do. The whole concept of breaking records, they're busy with the Olympics now. Breaking records, what does it mean, breaking a record? Where does it stop? What's it going to happen? Eventually, are they going to run the mile eventually in 10 seconds? What's going to happen? Each time, a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter. We don't know where it's going to stop. One thing we see every 4 years, is that what we thought was impossible 4 years ago is possible today. And that's the human being. That what you thought couldn't possibly be, when you turn the pressure on, you say, that's now the record that has to be broken. And one puts all one's energy into breaking that record. One can do it. The record can be broken. The human being has the ability to burst beyond his own limitations and his own frontiers. But it needs a belief in the possibility. And perhaps that's the important difference between the tipesh and the chokhmah. The tipesh comes in and his assumption is like Malthus. His assumption is, it can't be. It's beyond me. Therefore what? Give up. If it can't be, you're right. Why waste time? The chokhmah comes in. He doesn't know how he's going to get it. He also knows it's beyond him. But he has a kasha. The kasha is, how did it get there? And that kasha leads him to the belief that it is possible. Once you believe it's possible, then you can do it. When they used to run the mile in 6 minutes, nobody would have thought it was possible to run it in 4 minutes. But when they'd run the mile in 4 minutes and 5 seconds, then it became conceivable that 4 minutes is now a possibility. And that's what happens. As the record is broken, so the next barrier becomes feasible, because one says, with a little bit more effort and just a tiny bit more energy and peak performance, one can do a fraction of a second better. That's all you need to break the record. But it becomes possible. So the first element in being able to break the barriers of one's own limitations is a belief in the feasibility. You've got to believe it's possible. You've got to know that it's possible. If you believe it's something which is totally beyond the human ability, then there's no point in even trying. That's the chokhmah. And how does he do it? What's the mechanism? He's got to build. You've got to make yourself bigger. But how do you do that? You use the Olympics method. All you have to do is break the record. And then do it again, and again, and again. And that's how one progresses. So you say it's impossible. So you've got to break it down into achievements which are not impossible. So you look at the whole Torah and you say, my goodness, to know the whole of Shas, that's impossible. When? How? What? Figure out how long it takes. Figure out how many days there are in your life. And you'll come to the conclusion, I can't do it. That's the conclusion you come to. Then take it, you can't do it. But if you say 1 minute, there's a mitzvah to do it, and the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give people mitzvahs that they can't do, so it can be done. Let's figure out how. And one breaks it down into factors which can be handled with ease, time frames which can be handled with ease, and quantities which can be handled with ease. Then one grows. And all one has to do is, says the Medrash, Shene perek echod b'chol yom v'yom. Each day, one perek. That's all. Can you learn a perek today? Say to yourself, it's only 10 to 8 at the moment. You can go to bed at 11 or 12 o'clock tonight quite comfortably. That leaves you 3 or 4 hours. In 3 or 4 hours, can you learn a perek of Mishnah? Can you learn a perek of Chumash? Can you learn a half an omid of Gemara? You can. Good, don't worry about the rest of it. If you can do that, that's fine. Why don't you go ahead and do just that? And tomorrow the same thing. And on Monday the same thing. And on Tuesday the same thing. Come to the end of a week and you look back and you've learned 7 prokim. A week ago you would have thought, is it possible for me in 1 week to learn 7 prokim of Mishnayos? Or to learn 3 blat of Gemara in 1 week? Who would have thought it was possible? But it's been done quietly. Like a little bit of saving, you put away a little bit of money each month. And it's meaningless. And if you think about it, you realize it's meaningless and you get demotivated. But you get into the routine. You sign a stop order, and you don't even notice it, and you let it go. And after a year or 2 years or 3 years, leaving aside the ravages of inflation, it's mounted up. There's something there. You wouldn't have thought it was possible to put all that together. That is the secret. Not a secret, that's the formula for being able to grow far beyond one's abilities. To break it down into little areas and to do it little by little. One has to think big, but one has to act small. And most people do the opposite. They think small and they act big. And when you think small and act big, you fall very quickly. What the Medrash is telling us, that's the Tipish's problem. He comes in, he thinks big. Can I jump? Can I get there? That's his thinking big. He tries, can't get anywhere near it. So he gives up, walks out, goes hungry. The Tipish thinks big. He starts with major questions. Who killed it? How did it get there? He doesn't think in terms of me and it and this. Hungry. How did it get there? I have a cash. The action, small. One step at a time. A sula. Gets a ladder. He builds a ladder. And raises himself one step at a time. And so he is able to construct his stature to the point where he is able to reach the kikkur, where he is able to reach the bread. Le'niflesi, says the Torah. The Torah is not far and is not distant from you. Le'niflesi, and if you find that it is distant, then mimcho, then it's a result of your own lack of effort. So it's a result of your unintelligent method. Rather than lack of effort. And perhaps that's a second area that is so important in this Medrash. There are some people who run very fast and very hard and very long hours. The only problem is they're on a treadmill. And at the end of all their running, they haven't gotten anywhere. And that's one of the most frustrating things in the world. And sometimes they realize that very late. Because they think they're moving. They think they must be moving. They're running so hard, they must be progressing. But when they actually stop for a moment and say, where have I gone? And they look around and they see, I've gone nowhere. That's a very frustrating feeling. And the only way that that feeling can be handled is, as the Medrash says, Perek Echod B'chol Yom. Each day, a little bit. But know it well. Doesn't matter how little. What's important is that you've mastered it, that you know it, that you understand it, that you've done that day, and the next day you can go a little bit further. That's what's important in any activity one wants to undertake. You want to read a big fat book, and you look at it and it's 2,000 pages, when are you going to finish? That's not the way to handle it. If it's really important, you've got to set aside time every day. You set aside 5 minutes every day, you read a few pages, before you look round, you're well into it, and you've broken the back of the task. It can be done if we'll break it down into small, regular quantities which can be mastered regularly. That's the method. The problem is the motivation. This needs motivation. Because when you try for big things, it's easy to be motivated. When you try to take a high jump, then one's very motivated. I'm going to get that bread, I'm going to get to the top, and I'm going to get to the top quickly. And one organizes oneself, and one energizes oneself, and one's ready to go. And off one flies, one day, 2 days, 3 days, no immediate results, and one starts losing interest, and one starts becoming deflated, and the energy stops coming, and the interest wanes, and one gives it up and looks for something new to become involved in and excited about. And then one finds some new cause, and one gets excited, and one gets oneself organized and reorganized and ready to go, and off one launches oneself, and very soon afterwards one's flat on the ground again. It's failed. This method that the Medrash has just described needs a great deal of self-discipline and self-motivation, because you don't see results for quite a long time. And until one sees the results, one has to be able to keep oneself motivated and satisfied with these little achievements, little by little, and have to find satisfaction in them. And here we come to the second Medrash. B'ficho uvilavovcho la'asuysu. This which the Torah tells us that it's all within our mouths and within our hearts, it's all within us to do this. Rabbonon Amri, the Rabbonon said, Zayin dvorim omar shloimu ala otzel umash omar moisho yogodol mikulam. Shlomo HaMelech addressed himself in 7 statements to the lazy person. But what Moshe Rabbeinu said was greater than all the 7. Omar Shlomo Ola'atzel. What are the 7 that Shlomo said? Amru La'atzel. Rabcho Bo'ir. Lech Ulamoyt Tayyar. Amen. The person comes along and he says, there's nobody to learn from, and there's no good Rebbe over here, and if only I had somebody, if I was living in Yerushalayim, I would learn Torah. If I was living in Bnei Brak, I would learn Torah. Somebody says, you know what? There's a good rabbi who's come to town. Why don't you go and learn Torah? He's giving shiurim. You can go and you can sit and learn by him. What is the otzel answer? The otzel, by definition, must have an answer. He's not going to say, yes, sure, I'll go and learn. Then he wouldn't be an otzel. What is the answer? Then the rabbi says, misyari ani min hori shabadeh. I can't go and learn. He gives the shiur at night. And I don't have a car. And to walk at night is dangerous. The beauty of the otzel is that his excuses are always unassailable. What can you say to a man who's scared of lions at night? What are you going to say? There are no lions there. He's scared. You believe there are. He shows you in the paper. Somebody got bitten by this lion and somebody got bitten by that lion or called them something else. It doesn't matter what the reason is. But his excuses are always just too beautiful. There's nothing you can say. The Shlomo HaMelech doesn't try to argue with an otzel. You don't argue with an otzel. There's no argument you can have. All you can try is help him. I say to him, Omruloi, you don't have to go out of town in the funny areas and quiet areas where there are all sorts of funny people roaming the streets. He's in your environment. He's in your suburb. You can easily get a lift, or you can take a walk down the road. He's very close by now. He's giving shiurim. Omer v'leichetzel, get up and go. Omer v'misyari anishlo yehe ari b'seichar l'choyves. And he brings a posuk shenem ha'ari b'l'choyves. There's a posuk that says there are lions in the streets. It could happen that a lion comes in, you know. And he shows you another newspaper article that there was a cheetah that escaped or that came down from the Mechalisberg and was found somewhere in the... just a couple of weeks ago, remember? A hyena. It's in the newspaper not 2 weeks ago. A hyena was seen in Santa Randburg in the morning. And then the zoo said, yeah, it's not uncommon that these animals come down at night and they walk up and down these funny areas and sometimes you still see them in the morning. No, it's not. This is where you're going to go in Johannesburg where the hyena is walking around and you're going to go in the middle of the night. Even in Randburg and Kolschein in Sydney, it would be dangerous. So you can't argue with that. He's got newspaper articles. He's got a prophet from the Chumash. There's no way you can argue with the otzel. Omru lo areyu dar etzel beischo. So they say, you know, he's in your block of flats. All you have to do, you don't even have to go to the street. You just have to get out of your door, down the corridor, turn left, and that's where it is. Omru lohen v'hari b'chut shenema. Then he says, no. He says, it could be. You know, if you accept that hyena is out in the street, you think it's impossible. Can't hyenas walk up steps? You think he can't get up here as well? Who knows what there is outside? And there are all sorts of unsavory characters in the flats, and it's too dangerous. I don't get it too dangerous. They say, but you know, he's running already. He's just got to go and open the door. He wants to come in. He'll come to you now. You'll get a private lesson in your own house. But what happens if I go? The Chabad is in somebody else's flat, in the next door flat. So what happens if I go and I'm knocking on the door and the door's locked? Then I have to come all the way back, all for nothing. I'm not going to take the chance.
Amrulay Pasuachu, they say to him, but don't worry, we just checked. The door was wide open. And he's about to start the shiur, and all you have to do is go next door and listen. That's all. Masayif Shaloya Yodeo Malahoshiv. At the end of it, the Yotzel is caught in a corner. He doesn't know what to answer. But one thing's for sure, the Yotzel is not going to go to the shiur, then he wouldn't be an Yotzel. So an answer he's got to find. He decides to be honest. Omerlein, or Adelis Pesuach, or no, who cares whether the door is open or closed. Havakashani Lishon Oed Ma'at. Leave me to sleep a little bit longer. That's the end of it. Just leave me alone. That's the Yotzel. Omed Mishnotu Babaykir. Finally he wakes up. Nosnu Lefon of Lechel. They bring him his breakfast. Hu Misatzel Loses Letoch Piv. And the end of the Yotzel is that he's even too lazy to feed himself. And he starts deteriorating. So he doesn't eat a good breakfast. And then he starts noshing during the day. And then he starts putting on weight, and then he becomes lethargic, and then he eats junk food because it's quicker and easier to prepare, and then his cholesterol goes up, and then he has a heart attack and he dies. Eventually he kills himself. The atzlonus is so great that eventually it destroys him. His unwillingness to put himself out, even for himself, not unwilling to do it for others, even for himself, he's a tzaddik. He doesn't treat others worse than himself, he doesn't treat the Ribbono Shel Olam worse than himself. He's not prepared to put himself out for anybody, even for himself.
What is the seventh? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Zeshe in Lomad Torah ben Arusoi, Mavakesh Lilmud Beziknusoi, Ve'in Yochai. The worst and the last thing about an Otzel is that if he doesn't learn when he's young and he has the energy and the opportunity, and he thinks he'll delay it till later when he's older and he's got the time, he'll start learning. He finds that it's too late. He can't bring himself to it. It's very, very difficult, and he loses the opportunity altogether. That's the Yotzer. But Shlomo HaMelech doesn't give us any indication how to solve the problem. He merely gives us the seven tzirutzim. He helps us identify the Yotzer. He knows us how to handle him. He tells us what to expect from him. An excuse there'll always be. The excuse will be unassailable, and don't think you can make it easier for him and then he will learn. He will never do it. If he is an otzel, no matter how easy you make it, it will never make any difference at all. It will be exactly the same. I always mention on the Shabbatons that sometimes you have people that live far from shul, and they say, "Will you come late to shul?" They say, "Yeah, live far." So on the Shabbaton, they live 100 meters away from shul. They come exactly the same time. There's no difference, exactly the same time. You have people that say, "No, shul's too early. 7:30 to come on the Shabbos morning, I can't. 8 o'clock is fine for me." So you have a Shabbaton, you start davening at 8 o'clock, they come at 8:30. It's got nothing to do with what time or how far. That's not what it's got to do with. It's just got to do with a certain attitude of mind which isn't going to change no matter what. Nothing will ever change it. You can bring the Beis HaMedrash into their bedrooms and it won't change it. They say they haven't got time, you can take away all their tuchus. Everything. I can't. I would love to come and learn in the evenings. I just don't have time. You can say, "Right, I'm going to give you for a year a business manager who will look after your business and better than you do." You can finish. You don't have to worry for a whole year. You don't have to worry about your business. You'll do better than when you were there. Do you think you'll have time after that? Still have no time. There are those people who no matter what have the time, and there are those people who no matter what don't have the time. And it's got nothing to do with how much time is available. It's simply got to do with the state of mind. One is either an otzel, one isn't an otzel. An otzel doesn't mean a lazy person. It's a bad translation. Otzel means a genius. A genius at manufacturing excuses to retain his comfort zone, as the psychologists say. Just to stay where he is, because he feels comfortable. And the only time he'll move is when he feels uncomfortable. Nothing else will make him move. But when he's feeling comfortable, there's nothing in the world you can do to make him change. That's an otzel, that he's an intellectual, a mental genius at the creation of ideas and excuses which are so convincing that they convince himself. That's how convincing they are. But he can convince other people, that's easy. But to persuade oneself, that's already an art. If one starts believing in one's own excuses. But it doesn't tell us what to do about it. But what Moshe said is the best of all. Nine, what does he say? Ki korov elecho hadover ma'id.
V'ficho uvilvovcho la'aseisa. The Rebbe is not overseas, and is not down the road, and is not next door, and is not in your house. It's all within you. You don't have to move yourself at all. You don't have to do anything to achieve. It's beficho uvilvovcho. It's all there in potential. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. It's all there. All it has to do is to be allowed to come out. How do you do it? And here the Midrash gives us pshat in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoitze dovar mitzoich picho. Just say it. And that sets the whole process in motion. Just say it. I want to learn pshat in the hoitze dovar mitzoich picho in two different ways. This statement in the Chumash of ki kolor elecho adovar mo'id v'ticho v'vomcho la'aseisa, there's a machlokes among the Mefoshim, as to whether it is talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of the learning of Torah, or whether it's talking about the mitzvah of Teshuvah. And we have to understand it in both ways, in which case this medrash also could be taken both ways. Firstly, let's say it's talking about the mitzvah of the learning of Torah. Then, Chaytse Dova Mitoch Picha. Let's take our Otzel again. There he is, lying in bed, and he doesn't want to move. And the Rebbe is... he's got to get in his car and go to another suburb. He's afraid of the hyena. He's got to go down the road. The hyena might be in the road. It's in the same block of flats. The hyena might be in the corridor. It's next door. The door might be closed. He's in your house. Leave me alone to sleep. Says Moshe, that's how Pashlom HaMelech is. And the end of you will be that you'll just consume yourself with your own laziness. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? Forget going anywhere. Don't go to any shira, nothing. Just get up, take the sefer, and read out aloud. That's all. That will set it in motion. You can't start from nothing and try and bridge this apparently untraversable void. See, the whole of Shas, and here you are lying in bed. How do you get from the one to the other? It's unbridgeable. You're sitting at home, relaxing. There's an opportunity to learn, there's an ambition to learn, but it's just so far from what you're doing, where your mind is now and where it's supposed to be is just so far. How do you do it? No problem. Think big, act small. Take a chumash and read a pasuk out aloud. Read it each word, translate each word. When you finish that, if you feel you've got a little bit more time, look at the Rashi, read it, translate it. Take a piece of Gemara, take the last shir, take two lines of the Gemara, read each word out aloud, translate it. That takes you out of this negative mode of thinking. All of a sudden, with no effort at all, you find yourself in a completely different plane where different values apply, and where you're already out of the laziness. Now you might as well carry on. One finds oneself introduced, almost against one's will, into a mode and into a dimension where the comfortable thing is to continue. What's the Otzel's problem? He wants to retain his comfort zone. So if you can, without him noticing, just move him from one comfort zone to another, then he'll want to stay where he is then, that's all. So you've just got to gently move him into the base of Medrash. There was a fellow, Yeshiva Bochum can sometimes be very cruel, and I remember in Geisha, there was a fellow who never used to make it to the davening. And one day his friends decided it was coming close to Rosh Hashanah, it was Edel time, tackle. I thought I've got to help him become a little bit alert to what's happening around him. And they moved his bed into the base of Medrash in the middle of the night. He was a very deep sleeper. And he slept deeply, and one person came to the base of Medrash and started putting on his talus and tefillin. He slept on until, by the time that the whole base of Medrash had gathered and sort of got, he didn't hear anything really until Boruch Hu, I think he slept through as well. But when it came to Shema Yisrael, and you know what it is when a whole yeshiva, 200-300 boys say Shema Yisrael out aloud, he jumps up in his pajamas and all found himself in the middle of the Beis HaMedrash. Everybody's saying Shema Yisrael around him. But what do you do then? You're in the Beis HaMedrash already. You're comfortable to stay there. You can't run out. What do you do? So somehow one has to move one's bed into the Beis HaMedrash without really noticing it. That's the Eitzah of Vetzeh Dova Misoch Picha. All I'm asking of you, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. Just nothing. Just take a sefer and read the pasuk out loud. Is that hard to do? That's not hard for him. Even an otzel can do that. Once you're doing that, one gets moving. And that's something that one should practice in every situation in which one finds difficulty. If one has a shir, one has mincha at 5:30, and one usually finds that one misses the mincha, So the good thing to do is to get involved, make a regular Seder, 25 past 5. At home even, 20 past 5. At home, a 1 minute Seder. Every day, at 20 past 5, I'm going to learn one Pasuk of Chumash. That's all. And you'll probably find that's all you need to do, and the rest takes care of itself. The 1 minute, and you promise yourself that after that Pasuk is over, you are free to do what you want. But whatever you're doing, you've got to stop at that 20 past 5, you've got to stop whatever you're doing, and you've got to read your Pasuk of Chumash. Or a few lines of Mesillas Yesharim, or a few lines of the Mishnah, or whatever you want, it makes no difference. Comes 20 past 5 and you read your line, the chances are you look at your watch when you're finished, it will be 21 minutes past 5, just about the right time to go to Mincha, to have the Kriyas, or to hear a Shir, and one will probably find oneself getting there on time without any difficulty. The same technique can be used in the morning, the same technique can be used at any time, where if we're honest with ourselves, we will say, the reason I'm not learning now is simply because I'm too comfortable in what I'm doing. And the effort of getting up and opening a Gemara and applying my mind and getting myself involved in a whole area which I'll have to remind myself where I'm holding, what it's all about, it's just too much. Just too much effort. And so the retaining of the present comfort zone demands we just stay where we are. And if all we do is we say one thing, one little parik, one little pasuk, we say out aloud, and that unbelievable effect. And it enables us to do all sorts of things. You've got to think big and act small. And say that is with tshuva. The Hoitzei Dova Misoch Picho, we will then learn if a person wants to set himself standards, which until now he's found uncomfortable, he would rather stay where he is. Hoitzei Dova Misoch Picho. Say it out aloud. Say to yourself exactly what you want to do and what you want to achieve. We once had a shir on a piece of Rabbein the Tanakh, the Sefer Yoshua. He talked about giving directions and instructions to your own neshama. That the neshama is the only being which can be subject and object simultaneously. It's the only being that can operate upon itself. Every other object can either be an object or a subject. It can operate or be operated upon. The neshama is the only thing that can operate and be operated upon simultaneously. You can operate on your own neshama. That's what the neshama can do. One can direct it. One can educate it, one can mold it, one can speak to it. If the Otzel finds that action is too hard for him, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Beficho, just use your mouth. Say it out. Instruct yourself. Motivate yourself verbally. And then you will find most amazingly that from your mouth it begins to affect your feelings and your heart, and from your heart it affects your deeds, and you find that verbal instruction becomes translated ultimately la soiso in the ability to actually do and actually achieve. When we Yomim Nevoim, part of our difficulty is that the gap between where we are and where we would like to be is so big that it sometimes makes us despair and makes us feel that it's almost not worth the effort. We can't possibly make it. You have to remember the Chochom and the Tipesh and the Room with the Bread. The Rabbeinu Shalom has presented us with a challenge, and we can make it. It is possible. And if we know that it's possible, we need to find ways of expanding ourselves, of stretching ourselves, not a lot all at one go, but little by little expanding ourselves, mastering one thing at a time, and thus acquiring the height and the stature which enables us to go a little bit further. And if we find that that demands energy which we're too lazy to give ourselves, then we need to talk to ourselves a little bit. As I said before, don't believe what the psychologists and psychiatrists tell us, that talking to yourself is a sign of insanity. Talking to yourself is a sign of deep spiritual awareness. And it's a method of motivation which those same psychologists and psychiatrists use when they're training people to say things out aloud, to drum things into themselves, to hear yourself saying it to yourself. If you stand there and say in truth to ourselves, this is what you're going to do, and you can do it, and you will do it, and this is how you're going to do it, and we need to say it over and over again, and we will find that it's possible. The power of the mouth is something which is used not only for communicating to others, but perhaps far more important, it needs to be used to communicate to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves, we need to reason to ourselves, we need to encourage ourselves, we need to comfort ourselves, we need to make ourselves feel good about ourselves and about what we're capable of achieving. And sometimes nobody else is going to do that. And Shul, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the days in between, is a very good time to do that. Stand in our little corners, our little siddurim open, talk
talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam and talking to ourselves, pleading for his understanding, his guidance and his help, and instructing ourselves to set new standards for ourselves, to chart new courses for ourselves, to achieve new goals in the year to come.